Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected. Right now, we're going to hear a life-changing message from a senior pastor, Pastor Nick C.
We are on our second week of our sermon series, which we've entitled Soul Shifts. The word shift is defined as moving or causing to move from one place to another, especially over a small distance. And so in this sermon series, we're going to be suggesting some intentional shifts, little changes in our lives that will bring us nearer to Jesus. Now, last week, we looked at the issue of distractions in our lives, and I suggested to you two simple shifts: to be aware of our distractions, and two, to be more attentive to God. Now, I hope you were able to apply those in practice, especially when you began to realize that the distractions are getting the better of you. Now, today we're going to take on another very common problem of mankind, very much like distractions. And it has to do with the frustrations of life and our struggle to be in charge. This time, we're looking at a very familiar story from the New Testament, one that most of us have probably read a number of times, usually during Christmas. And I believe this passage is going to teach us and give us the solution to our frustrations. Now, before we read our passage, I'd like you to do something different today. Right where you are, I want you to get a piece of paper and a pen. Yes, I'll give you a moment to do that. I'm going to ask you to do something later in the message. Don't worry, it will be entirely personal, just between you and the Lord. Okay, so you've got your pen and paper, I hope. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Now, if you're a note taker, I have good news for you. You can follow along on our YouVersion, and there you will find the verses as well as the sermon outline. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come before you with humble expectation that you would minister to our anxious hearts. Now I pray, Lord, that you would guide me, unworthy as I am, to proclaim your truth. And may your Holy Spirit give enlightenment and understanding where my words may not be able to go. And we lift up our praises to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Through him we pray. Amen and amen. We all have something in our lives that irritates us. It may be a person or a situation that really frustrates us. You know, in our house, we have an air conditioner that has actually served us for many years. Now, this air conditioner has a remote control. Of course, you use the remote to turn the aircon on and off, to set the temperature or the timer and so on. Unfortunately, this remote control has always been a frustration for me. For one, the battery doesn't last very long. It uses two AAA alkaline batteries, which last only 1 month. And when I use ordinary batteries, it would work only for a day or two. Eventually, as the years went by, the remote eventually conked out. I mean, when you look at it, the LED looks like it's working, but when you use it, well, it doesn't work. Now, without a working remote control, you can't turn the aircon on or off. So what we have done over the past months was we would go and use the circuit breaker to switch the aircon on and off. It's a hassle. That was our routine for many months until just a few days ago when this little gadget I ordered finally arrived. It's a Wi-Fi infrared remote. Simply put, this little gizmo connects to the Wi-Fi, and now I can control the aircon or TV or any appliance that uses infrared, and from an app on my phone, anywhere I am in the house or outside the house, as long as there's internet connection. And so I can turn on and off the phone wherever I want. Finally, the problem has been solved. Well, when I woke up this morning, you know what happened? The remote didn't work. That's frustrating, right? Now, we all have frustrations. Some of them minor irritations, while other ones are really big ones. When things don't go our way or when situations get out of hand, we get so frustrated. Some of us would do all sorts of crazy things just to fix or handle it. Ultimately, of course, if you think about it, the reason why we are so frustrated is because we really just want to be in control, right? We want to be on top of the situation so that we won't be bothered by it at all. Now, for all of you who are watching this broadcast, let me ask you a question. How many of you would say honestly that there's at least one area in your life right now that is frustrating you and you really love to control? Raise your hands, will you? Yes, I can't see you. But I would imagine that there are some of you who are already thinking of raising up the hands of somebody you're with who doesn't want to raise their hands. Or maybe you're alone watching this broadcast and you're thinking, why is this guy asking me to raise my hands? Well, I won't. He can't see me anyway. I'm in control. You know, the root of our frustrations is the struggle to be in control. The past week, let alone the past months, have been frustrating to many of us, hasn't it? I mean, this COVID pandemic has been hard. Maybe for some of you, it's about getting that quarantine pass and really just about being able to go out and buy the necessities of life. For others, it's work or the absence of it. It's been more than 100 days and well, your company hasn't been forthcoming about getting back to work. And of course, with no income and the funds depleting, who doesn't get frustrated? Those in the medical fields are bombarded with other kinds of frustrations. As you see, the number of cases rising, the difficulty of working the whole day wearing those protective gears, and you see the lapses all around and you're thinking this could be better. It's frustrating. There are even those who are putting into question the purposes of God in all these that's been happening. Like, why would God allow all these things to happen? Of course, it's not just the COVID. There are relational concerns, physical and mental issues, financial difficulties that we have to cope with. And we wish, if only I have more control of the situation, then I won't be so frustrated. That's why today I'm going to give you a simple thought to remember, but it's not really simple to live out. In order for this to be true in your life, it will take faith. But on the other hand, on the other side of faith, I promise you that you will also see the faithfulness of God. And the big thought is simply this. We are not called to try harder, but to trust deeper. The solution is not greater control, but greater surrender. You see, we may not always have control, but we always have the choice to surrender. We can either strive to be in control or seek to surrender to God. So let me say that again. We are not called to try harder, but to trust deeper. Things do not always have to line up the way we want it. You don't have to always be in control to make them do what you want, to make her behave the way you want her to behave, or to get your finances or your career or your future all lined up, to get your health where you want it, or to have your kids, your boss, or your employees do everything you want them to do. We don't always have control, but we always have the choice to surrender. And the story of Mary will exemplify for that. And the story of Mary will exemplify that for us today. Let me give you three quick observations about Mary as we try to see how she responds to all these things that suddenly come upon her. And I think from these three observations in her life, we can also see the same reasons for our frustrations, which I believe we are also going to be called to surrender to God, just as Mary did. So let's look at these observations. The first one is this. Mary had dreams. She had dreams. When you think about Mary, a lot of people would say, well, it was easy for her. After all, she was the Virgin Mary. You know, cathedrals have been made after her. But here's a thing to consider. When the angel appeared to her, we have to realize that Mary was just an ordinary, average teenage girl, just a regular kid. Scholars peg her to be somewhere around 14, 15, or 16 years of age when this account in Luke chapter 1 happened. Now, how many of you watching today are teenagers? And for those of you who are no longer teens, can you recall the time when you were, say, 16 years old? What kind of mindset did you have? I remember when I was 16, all I thought about was basketball and maybe a little bit of girls. But every afternoon after school, I'm off to the basketball court to play. Very mature indeed. Now let's read how Luke introduced Mary. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, what were Mary's concerns at this time? Well, the mention of her betrothal gives us a clue. In our day, it means she was engaged to be married. Mary was a young teenager who was happily anticipating the day of her wedding. Like any woman, this was probably what she was thinking of most of the time. Let's suppose that the wedding is, say, 5-6 months away. It will be reasonable to conclude that her thoughts are centered on the same things prospective brides are thinking about today. To modernize it a bit, she would probably be concerned with the guest list, the decorations, the food, the music, what to wear, who will be the guest, who to make ninong and ninang, who's going to officiate the wedding, and so on and so forth. Mary had dreams. Second observation, Mary was disturbed. Now, I'm sure Mary was giddy and excited about the wedding, but it is at this point that God breaks in with an interruption. We are told that Gabriel was sent to Mary for some news. Now think about that. An angel suddenly appears. Verse 28. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. It's kind of like, you know, we interrupt this program for some important news. Through the angel Gabriel, God is about to ask an unknown teenage girl to take part in something that will change her life forever. Verse 29 says she was greatly troubled by this. And the Greek word for that is the word diatarazo. One New Testament lexicon pictures this word as intensely going back and forth, to and fro between inner thoughts and emotions. You know how it is when you're disturbed by something, right? You can't help but think about it. The implications. What if, did I get it right? What's going to happen? It's just like how it's described. You're going back and forth between your thoughts and your emotions. Now, Mary didn't say, oh, wow, that's great. Whatever that means. She didn't say that. No. The idea was internally, she was saying, what's happening here? What did he say? Favored, graced by God. Wait. The Lord is with me, not me. Who am I? I'm just a teen. I'm not even rich. Why is there an angel in front of me? Now we read in verse 30 that the angel Gabriel tells her, do not be afraid, Mary. Now why would he say that? Because she was afraid. She was literally shaken by this. She was troubled and she was fearful. So here we have a teenager who had dreams, who was distressed and disturbed. And third, she had doubts. Let's jump to verse 34. After the angel Gabriel explains to her that she was going to be the human mother of the Messiah, here's what she says. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? Good question, right? Now, let me mention that this is not a question of unbelief on the part of Mary. I want you to note the distinction between her question and the question of Zechariah. Now, about 6 months earlier, the angel Gabriel also appeared to a priest named Zechariah while he was performing his duties in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. And Gabriel tells him that his wife Elizabeth will bear a child. And Zechariah responded with a question in Luke chapter 1, verse 20. And it says, how can I be sure of this? And then we are told in Luke 1:29 that he did not believe the words of the angel. So it was really a question of unbelief. Now, Mary asked a similar question, but it was a question for further clarification, not based on unbelief, as we will see in the context. In simple terms, God was telling Mary through the angel, Mary, here are my plans for your life. You're going to be the mother of the Messiah. This is going to be your calling. This will change everything. You know, as Christians, we all battle with doubts one time or another. Maybe we see things around us and we don't know what it means. Or when we are disturbed by a situation and we don't understand the implications. Or when God calls us to do something, sometimes it's unclear for us and we have questions. And just like Mary, we may be confused. And so here we have a teenage girl who had dreams, who was disturbed, and who was battling with some doubts. All that would be cause for frustration. And it happens to the best of us, doesn't it? Some of you had a plan, some hopes, some dreams. You were done with two kids and suddenly there's a third one. You didn't see that coming. Or the opposite. You dreamed of kids and you found that you couldn't even conceive your first. You thought the job was the perfect job when you took it. You had no idea that COVID would force the company to downsize. And now you're not sure if you're going to be able to keep your job. And the bills are piling up and it's weighing in on you. It could be a relational issue. Your marriage isn't where it's supposed to be. You had an unresolved conflict with a friend or a coworker. Somebody betrayed you or is trying to destroy your reputation. There could be an empty chair at the dinner table this year. The person was there last year and for some reason, they're not there anymore this year and you never thought it would happen. It could be a health issue. It could be a financial weight. It could be any number of things. Your dreams are shattered. You are bothered. Things are so uncertain and you're frustrated and you're thinking, if only I have more control of the situation. You never thought it would turn out the way it would be. You're like Mary. And I think sometimes we tend to romanticize what happened to Mary here. We tend to think that when she heard these words from God through the angel Gabriel, she says, wow, that's cool. When do we start? But what did this really mean for her? You know, at the very least, she was going to risk her engagement. The possibility of being disowned and disgraced was very real. And she was being asked to give birth to the Son of the Most High, which is something no one has ever done before. Was she scared? You know she was. Was she confused? You bet she was. Was God asking something easy from here? Not a chance. When you think about Mary, she didn't know the end of the story, but she had a choice to make. She could either strive to be in control or seek to surrender to God, to try harder or to trust deeper. And she had to make a decision between her dreams or God's destiny. She had to make a choice between her agenda and God's purpose. She had to choose between her control and God's plans. In Luke chapter 1 verse 38, look at how she answers. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What I love about Mary is this. Even though she didn't understand the plan, and even though she didn't know what's going to happen, she trusted that the Father had a purpose, and she chose surrender. If you think about it, there is no such thing as partial surrender. It's either you're surrendered like Jesus is all yours, or it's not. There's no degrees in surrender, like I'm 80% surrendered. I trust him to save my soul, but I still have some of these vices. I trust him to make my past okay, but I can't trust him with my money. I trust him to give me peace when I'm hurting, but not with my career or my kids. You know, to surrender means to surrender completely. Believe me, I'm also preaching to myself. The more I find myself trying to control, the more I exaggerate my ability to control, which results in my underestimation of the power and the faithfulness of God. It's not easy because everything around us, the culture tells us, you can do this. You've got to make it happen. If you won't do it, you're never going to be. It's all up to me. I got to get in there. I got to be strong. I got to manipulate it. I've got to make it happen. Here's the thing. It's either full surrender or you're still taking control. And I think for most of us, we also know that surrender is not just a one-time decision. I mean, you know, in 2012, I surrendered control of my life to Jesus and it's all good now. No, surrender is really a daily choice. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, this is what Jesus says. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, did Jesus say, take up your cross only if you feel like it? Did Jesus say, deny yourself only if you're comfortable? No. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's a daily surrender, a daily denial of self, a choice to follow Jesus. And wouldn't it be nice if we could just take a single great act of surrender and it would all be done? It doesn't work that way, right? The choice to surrender is a daily choice. And when we look at Mary's life, what is so interesting is that every time she chose to surrender something, she eventually saw evidence of the faithfulness of God. Think about her pregnancy, for instance. How was she going to handle that? What would people say? How about Joseph? What would she tell him? And we read that God speaks to Joseph in a dream. And later on, Elizabeth, her cousin, gets confirmation too. Or when Herod the king wanted all the baby boys killed, they had to flee to Egypt. Consider the difficulties of being pregnant and being on the run, not knowing what's going to be in Egypt. But we know God took care of them. God was faithful. In a very real sense, God's faithfulness awaits our surrender. And I'm not saying that God will only be faithful if we surrender. God is always faithful. That's who he is. But here's the thing, and I believe this with all my heart, is that God is able to do greater through our surrender than we could ever do through our control. Way more. That which is in the hands of our God is always better than that which is in our hands. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 it says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. All. Everything. That which is in His hands is always better than that which is in our hands. And the choice is ours to make. To try harder or to trust deeper. Soul shifts. Most of the time when life hits us, we just let the worst get the better of us. So I'm going to share with you today two simple shifts that you can do when you feel really frustrated, when you feel weary and defeated. Now, please understand that these shifts are not meant to be legalistic or formulaic. It's just simple ways that you can deliberately reorient your focus on God during the day. That's all they are. So here's shift number one. Shift number one is this. Pause for 1 minute. You know, many of us are living right at the edge of our margins. How would you rate your soul these days? Are you happy? Are you rested? Are you refreshed? Do you look forward to the next week? When was the last time you felt close to God? I know. Maybe it's not fair to ask. Most days we're exhausted. We are worn out thin. We come home from work, a lot of weight on our shoulders. Or for the mom, the demands of the kids are just relentless. You barely have time for a breather. Maybe for some, you know, 2 hours on social media and you're fried mentally because that's what many people do these days. Bombarded with all those bad news, fake news, and whatever news there is, you feel the toxicity, you're tired, and to be honest, you're spiritually dry. Perhaps it's not social media, but something that has become your go-to distraction. You're not better for it. Your soul is dried up. Here's the good news. That's not the life that God intended for you. A life away from His presence, that's not the life He has for you. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As a Christian, don't we love to live that way? Rest for our souls. But let's be honest. That sounds so ideal unless it's absolutely doable in real life. I mean, we can't all quit our jobs or move to an island or live in a monastery and stay there for the rest of our lives. Jesus talks about a life where His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He tells us to learn from Him and find rest for our souls. But unfortunately for many of us, that is so foreign. I love how David says it in Psalm 131 verse 2. He says, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." You know what a weaned child looks like? Google it and you'll find pictures like this. A baby who is quietly rested in the arms of his or her mother. So how do we do it? Well, David says, "I have calmed and quieted my soul." That means it's intentional. It's deliberate. And that takes some practice to do. Here's where you can start. Take a minute to pause where you simply allow your soul to breathe. Just stop for 60 seconds. We'll practice it. Yes, now 60 seconds not to do anything. Don't answer that message. Put the phone down. Don't think about the work tomorrow or the problems in the office or what you're going to do after this. Just 60 seconds. Be quiet and let your soul breathe. Thank you. I know. For some of you, that's hard, right? All those things that's coming in your mind, it's almost crazy for someone to ask you to take 60 seconds to just pause, because suddenly we are confronted by how much we are being affected by the noise around us. But here's what a pause can do for your day. And I've been doing this every day. It's a way to silence your heart. It's a way to simply take a breather. It's a way to enjoy a moment of beauty. It's a way to be reminded of the presence of God. And it's also a way to release things to the Lord, which is shift number two, release and surrender. Now, in our study today, we see Mary responding to God by saying, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be." You know, interestingly, those are the same words that our Lord Jesus Christ said in the Garden of Gethsemane 33 years later. You know, he was agonizing. He knows what's going to happen. The pressure is so intense and he sweats drops of blood. And he cries to the Heavenly Father and says, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me." And what he's talking about is the cup of suffering that he was about to experience. The pain when the Heavenly Father will turn his back on him. And then he says the exact same Greek root word that his mother said when she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Jesus says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And Jesus went to the cross to die and take the wrath of the Father in our behalf. Jesus could have acted and taken control. He could have called legions of angels to wipe out the enemy. But what did he do? He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he surrendered. Now, at this time, I want you to take that piece of paper that I asked you to prepare before we begin. And I want to ask you a question. And here's the question. What is it that you're trying to control that God wants you to surrender? What is it that you're trying to control that God wants you to surrender? Now, I want you to take that little piece of paper. And if there's a burden in your heart, I know there's something. It could be a relationship. It could be a child. It could be a bad diagnosis. It could be a financial weight. It could be your job. It could be anxiety, whatever it is. I want to invite you to just write that down on that piece of paper right now. Now, I know I can't force you to do this today since this is a broadcast, but I really just want to create an opportunity where God could speak to you. What is it that you are trying to control that God wants you to surrender? Now, I'm going to take a moment and let you do that. And as you write it down on that piece of paper that you have, I want you to surrender to Jesus that burden which you are trying to control. Symbolically or in whatever way, just say, "God, I surrender this to you." I hope you took the time for that. Now, we're not done yet. Here's what I want you to do for the rest of the week. Remember a while ago that we said that surrender is a daily choice? Here's how we're going to combine the two shifts for the coming week. In the coming days, take that piece of paper, put it on your phone or on your wallet or stick it to your computer or anywhere you can see it and be reminded of it. And as you take a 1 minute pause during your day, remind yourself that you have surrendered that to God. Take a moment to pause, to refocus, and to release. Remember, nothing fancy, nothing legalistic, not a formula, just a few simple ways for us to set our eyes on Jesus during our day. Let me end with a pastoral thought from my heart. You know, I realize that I cannot control you. It'll be wonderful if I could preach in such a powerful way that would help you say, "Yes, Lord, I choose to surrender to you." But let me just say this again in ending. God is able to do greater through your surrender than we could ever do through our control. That which is in the hands of our Heavenly Father is always better than that which is in our hands. Let's pray. So, Father, I ask that you do today what only you can do. May you work in the hearts of your people. Show them, Lord, that you are faithful, that you are good, that you have a purpose. And on the other side of faith, God, I know you will show them, you will reveal to them your faithfulness. May this week be a week that you will refresh our souls and remind us once again that you are in control and not us. That only you can do what no other person has the power to do. Help us, Lord, to live lives of surrender. Let your will be done. Amen.